Hi, everybody. It's Jim Baekhyai, and my podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
So I was thinking about what's happening in the world and how it continues to go off kilter beyond the pandemic, the spin-off of what it's causing amongst people, and the revolution that seems to be taking place in every corner of at least the United States, but in other parts of the world and countries and things like that. Everything's getting pitted, sort of good against bad, right against wrong. And the irony is both sides think they're right and the other side is wrong. And we've lost that piece in the middle where there may be some sort of common ground away from the polar extremes. And I couldn't help but think about that poem by Rudyard Kipling, If. And so I just wanted to read a few of the first paragraphs of it because I found it quite apropos. So here we go. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make your dreams your masters, if you can think and not make your thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap of fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. You know, I thought it was really interesting that I don't even know when that was written, but how these things sort of circle back to sort of give us an opportunity to draw strength from. And I'm sure as everybody, you know, beyond the political mess that we're in, they're still fighting. And what people don't appreciate enough of is that much of the population is being played by politicians, taking advantage of the polarity of the world, stoking the fire of the far right or stoking the fire of the far left. And more what I've been reading, there was a great interview on a Holocaust survivor who talked about the rise of fascism in Germany at the time and how the preconditions were much of what we're seeing today in the world. And I'm not trying to get too heavy, but I'm hoping to sort of get people to recognize that we all have a part in it, right? That we all have a part of not letting ourselves get to the extremes or get to the polarity of our views. And how we all should have a role in trying to make things better in every aspect. And whether that's with family members at work or whether that's with people that you disagree with, you know, there's a great line. And I think it's at the core of my coaching practice and that I always try to push people. And I always say to them, if you never try, you will never know. People are afraid to try. That's the one thing I've probably learned more than anything else through this experience of coaching things. I think that we all need to try. We need to try to see the world differently. We need to try to help other people. And I see it a lot in my coaching. When I get people up to that top of that mountain and they just get over and they realize how much easier it is, and when they actually try to be candid with someone, and again, as I always like to say, in a respectful manner, that people take it pretty well. You know, going back to one on previous podcast, it's about the delivery. The message gets lost if the delivery isn't done the right way. So think about the delivery. But who doesn't want to improve themselves? Who doesn't want to know that they're doing the wrong things that are pissing somebody off? Who doesn't want to know that? Who doesn't want to be better? We all want to be better. And we all recognize that we can't be better by ourselves. So by definition, we need outside influence. And what's the barrier to getting that outside influence? Part of it is, as I noticed with one of my clients, when I say to them, well, why don't you tell her that? And they say, oh, I don't want to hurt her feelings. And I'm like, you're not going to hurt her feelings. She would love your input. And on the subject of that, sort of, I always say, it's kind of your responsibility, if you're friends, to give that input. Why let that person go on and on and on, thinking that what they're doing is the right thing? Or a coworker, or even your boss. You know, I had a recent situation where I pushed someone into speaking candidly with their boss, and, you know, it was just an uphill climb. They're like, oh, how will they take it? How will they not take it? What about this? What about that? And it turned out to be fantastic. Now, I'm not saying that it always turns out to be fantastic, but it did. If you don't try, you will not know. Learning and growing and getting rid of this bias and hatred comes through education and comes through understanding. And I'm really concerned because I'm seeing this wave of polarity, this wave of extremes get more and more pulled. I just saw today that the government of Canada is talking about basically shutting the country down if you're a Canadian outside of Canada, and they want you to go to a hotel and pay for the hotel for the quarantine days. I'm like, why would they do that? Well, because people aren't quarantining in their places. Well, then fine the people for not quarantining in their places. How do you know they're going to quarantine in the hotel? Like, how is it any different? People are grasping at things that aren't providing solutions to the problems. They're just throwing more shit at the wall. And we need to get our politicians and we need to get everybody to start thinking less knee-jerk reaction. Let's really think about it, right? Like, what's in the best interest of the most amount of people? You're always going to have outliers. You're going to always have people that are going to break the rules. It's fine. So punish them. Make them pay. Like, do you think anybody cares about a $250 fine for not quarantine? Of course not. It's $10,000? Now you have some people's attention. If it's $50,000, you really have some people's attention. And then enforce it. If you don't want stores open, don't fine them $200, because the equation of keeping open or keeping closed is well worth the penalty of $200 or whatever it is. And I'm not advocating for any of this. I'm just saying that the risk and reward have to match. This trend of polarization, this, you know, sort of the young retail people against the hedge funds, you know, we're bringing the hedge funds to their knees. They've lost $58 billion. This versus that dialogue is dangerous, and it never ends well. And when these things end, they never end well for the wrong people. They're the lemmings. They've just followed the people that are at the leader of the pack. And the lemmings are the ones that get hurt, not the people at the top. Trust me, when socialism came to the USSR, people at the top lived like kings. They had their dashas, they had everything. When Putin broke up, Gorbachev broke up Russia, no tag day sale for Putin and his buddies, right? You have to be careful of these Pied Pipers who grab people up in these causes and tell people that this is what we should be doing. Let's rally, let's charge the Capitol, right? They're the dangerous thinkers because they're not thinking and they're self-serving. We have to keep our wits about us, and we have to take our own counsel and our own advice and look at situations and not just join the maddening crowd. Okay, I got that off my chest, Katie.
Was that cathartic for you?
It was very cathartic for me, and it's been driving me crazy all week. I'm just watching and listening and reading and even the reporting. They want to point out, you know, who's the winner, who's the loser, who's at fault, who's right, who's wrong. And then you know, the overriding thing comes in. Let's regulate it all, right? Let's have the government step in, which is always the worst decision. But, you know, as I've said before, can you really penalize people who are playing by the rules? They're just using them differently than the rules were. There's always loopholes if you look hard enough. You know, I remember when they were occupying Wall Street several years ago, and I kept saying to people, you're occupying the wrong place. The people on Wall Street are just taking advantage of the loopholes. The people in Washington are the ones making the loopholes. You should be occupying Washington. You should be demonstrating, not like they did at the Capitol, but you should deal with your politicians. They're the ones that make the laws. They're the ones that make the rules. They're the ones that create these things for their buddies who donate millions of dollars to their campaign. And somehow, the politicians always get off scot-free. Nobody holds them accountable. Now, we held Donald Trump accountable, but even still, guy got 75 million votes or 70 million votes. And as I've said before, you know, what were the preconditions that brought us Donald Trump? People were fed up with politics. People were fed up with politicians. But the rank and file politicians get through unscathed. And the average age of those people has to be, I don't know what it is, especially in the States. You look at the leadership of both parties and they're in their 70s and 80s. Where's that next generation of people? Where's the Andrew Yangs? You know, where's the, at least Kamala Harris is much younger. But where's that next generation of people that can actually relate to the people that they're governing, can actually think in the shoes of the people that they're governing? So I guess what I want you to do, try in the next election, whenever it may be, to think about supporting the people that truly represent you, the ones that really you can relate to, not just because they say we're going to legalize pot or we're going to cut taxes, but so much more. And sort of extend that same thing to who we work with, right? Is it consistent with our values? I mean, value investing didn't exist 10 years ago. Today, there's a whole industry in value investing. 10 years ago, people only cared about the return on capital for companies as shareholders. But now people care about, I want the company that I invest in to not only make money, but I want them to do well. I want them to have a broader ethos. I want them to contribute more broadly to society than just making money. Just like the beginning of organic farming, it gets a little brush fire, gets a little started. People get behind it. And we have to keep doing that, right? We have to keep rewarding the people that are doing the right things and penalizing the people that are doing the wrong things. And if we don't do that, then the people that will do the wrong things will have no penalty and they'll continue to do them. There has to be a distinction between good and bad, right and wrong. And not just about political opinions, but people that walk the talk and actually live what they say they do. People talk about diversity. People talk about gender diversity, racial diversity. They talk about it all. But the most important thing is, what does the picture look like? Oftentimes I'll look at an annual report or something and I'll see all this talk about diversity and everything. And then you open up the front cover and there are four fat old white guys on the thing. And then they have one woman, right? And you're like, seriously? Have you guys looked at this picture? Like, how can you be espousing those words? And so, you know, it's holding people accountable. And I've been working with this wonderful young woman and I've been helping her hold her boss accountable because, you know, he espouses all kinds of, oh yeah, we're going to do this. And oh yeah, we're going to do that. And I said, you can't let him off the hook. You got to, you know, every 2 weeks, you got to send him a note and said, you know, well, what's happening on this? What's happening on that? And I said, because what you're going to come to the realization, which you already have, is he's full of shit. He has no intention of doing any of that stuff. He's just hoping if he tells you he will, you'll just kind of go off and you need to stay vigilant on these things. You need to be persistent. You need to be, I just ended up engaging with a client who said to me in the end, you know, it's your persistence that won me over. And I said, well, I don't like any persistence. I said, some may call it stupidity. And I said, but I really felt that we would do good work together. And she said, yeah, I think you're right. And she said, you know, I would have, if you'd let it go, I probably would have let it go. And I knew we were a good fit and I knew she was busy. I didn't take it personally as in, because I said to her, if you tell me to just FO, then I'll just FO. But she never told me that. So I remained persistent and vigilant. I sent her notes like, you know, I'm tired of being a stalker. Do you want a restraining order or should I keep bothering you? And in the end, she came back and she said, you know, it's your persistence. We're gonna do some business together. If I could leave you with one last thing, I mentioned that we're live on the Audible book, which is great. And I actually listened to myself the other night, and Katie asked me if I thought it was weird. And at first, it was a little odd listening to myself narrating my own book. I quickly went from weird to quite proud of having accomplished it and how far I've come along this journey. But one of the things that I did want to say is there seems to have been a rise in the number of responses that I'm getting for people. And I'm getting these unsolicited people I don't know that somehow my book has found their way to them. So if my book has touched you in any manner and has helped you in any manner, please feel free to send me a note either through LinkedIn or Jim at Baikia International. I really love hearing the stories, and it really sort of strengthens my conviction that I'm on the right path to helping people find their true fit. It's just amazing. And I didn't think much older people would read the book, but more recently, as I'd said about my friend who wished she'd read it 50 years ago, I had a lady the other day who said she'd wished she'd read it 25 years ago, and it gave her courage and enthusiasm that she can find her right fit. So it's something that means a lot to me. If I've touched you in some sort of way and the book has resonated with you or my podcast, take a moment and drop me a note. It would mean a lot to me. So I guess my message for the week is, let's first and foremost try to have an open mind and be not necessarily move your view or not move your view, but try to understand where everybody's coming from, as demented as some of it is. Just try to understand, because I think in understanding it, it helps the situation. And then secondly, recognize there may be absolutely nothing you can do. You cannot move people off a mark that they don't want to be moved at. So what you can do for yourself is don't let it get to you. Stop being frustrated by it. Stop saying, why can't they just be like this? Because they can't. And then lastly, don't take no for an answer. Be persistent. If you feel you owed the information, be persistent. Ask the question. Well, you told me 2 weeks ago you were going to give me the answers to these questions. 2 weeks later, I still don't have the answers to the question. Am I getting the answers to the question, or am I not getting the answers to the question? Follow that decision-making process all the way down the road. I apologize for rambling today, everybody, but they're all subjects that have really got me fired up for the week. It's Jim Baikia. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. Be safe and be well.